Me do that. Praise the Lord. Last time I wrestled with him, I pinned him. And he wanted to wrestle again, but I wouldn't. Knowing when to stop sometimes is pretty good, I guess. Knowing how old you are makes a difference. I want to finish this morning what I started last Sunday and last Wednesday night. I didn't get finished either one. I fooled around too much at the beginning last Wednesday night to get to what I really wanted to get to. See, I know some of my sins, and what I don't know, my wife tells me about. And so I began two things that are very wonderfully related and didn't get them finished. So let's quickly go to the Word of God this morning and look at the fourth chapter of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter. I'm glad to have those that are visiting this morning, and just don't consider yourself a visitor. We're just here to have a good time in the Lord. And we intend to do that. Praise the Lord. Fourth chapter of Acts. In the beginning of this chapter, there was a miracle. A man was healed. And after he was healed, the ministry of the word, whether he was healed in the third chapter, and in the fourth chapter, the rulers brought the disciples before them and told them they couldn't preach anymore in this name because it brought such bad results. This lame man was healed, you know, and it was that caused an awful lot of confusion, and people didn't know what to do with it, and they don't like those kind of things going on. People don't like what doesn't begin and end with them. God was doing something precious and wonderful, and they didn't know what to do with that. But they told them not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, and they went home and prayed. They went back to their company, their own company, in the 23rd verse. And they prayed, and as they prayed, they talked about, they quoted the scriptures, the Psalms, about what David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And so they finally said in the 29th verse, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child or servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the price to the price of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, later on, they had to deal with some of the problems that arose out of that. But the marvelous impulse that came into the lives of these men is an impulse that we desperately need. thing I'd like to look at this morning is that phrase in the 33rd verse, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What was the great power? Was it that more lame men were healed? No, there was something there that was more wonderful than that. Last Sunday we looked at the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. He was on the way to the cross. And we call that the triumphal entry. The children, one of the records says, were the ones that continued to say, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And when the rulers of the synagogue were disturbed about the noise, I said, the rulers of the synagogue were disturbed about the noise. Jesus said, don't you know that the psalm says that out of the mouth of babes, thou hast ordained praise. Hallelujah. We need to learn to praise him. We need to learn to worship him who comes in the name of the Lord. Our hearts need to learn to sing Hosanna. Hallelujah. Blessed is he. Your king cometh. The prophet had said, your king cometh unto you. And he came not with all the pomp and glory of other kings. He came meek and lowly, riding on a donkey, an ass, the foal of an ass, an unbroken donkey. And he came into that city with worship. But it wasn't the official worship. No one gave him the key to the city. I said, no one gave him the key to the city. And we get disturbed because they don't give us the key to the city. It's because we're Christians. I said, we get disturbed because people don't recognize that we're Christians and appreciate it. They crucified Jesus. Officially. I say officially, they crucified him. It wasn't the fault of the rulers of Israel or of Rome that Jesus rose from the dead. They did everything they could to prevent it. Officially, the tomb was sealed. Officially, the judgment had been made. Officially, the condemnation that should have been ours was put upon him. And officially, he died. And officially, he was buried. But there were some people that were disturbed about the whole thing. There were people whose hearts were breaking. And there were people who went around trying to understand what in the world God was doing, that this man that could deliver other people, this man that could raise the dead, allowed himself to be crucified. I was saying this morning in the sunrise service, and the world looks at that today and they can't understand it, and they say, therefore Jesus failed. And so in the Jesus Christ Superstar opera, Jesus was a failure. He was disappointed. Reverend Moon says, Jesus didn't care, didn't finish what he started out to do, and Reverend Moon's going to finish it. Reverend Moon's going to live. Reverend Moon is going to be victorious where Jesus failed. Oh, but let me tell you something. Reverend Moon, unless he comes to Jesus, is never going to live. Because Jesus died that I might live. He died for all of those who will look with faith at that man that was raised on the pole. So he rode into Jerusalem to his death. But he also rode to a victory. A victory that we're celebrating this morning. And if we're going to celebrate that victory with him, we must understand how it goes. We have to understand what the rules are, how you get there. Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way unless you tell us? And Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way but Jesus' way. There are people that are trying to find another way, and they're making claims that there's another way, but there's no way to glory but the cross. You cannot have resurrection life until you die. There can't be a resurrection until there's a death. The glory of God can never be seen in us until we die. There's some good-natured fun that people make of me. And they say that I only have one sermon. And if that's the sermon, I mean, if that's true, that's the sermon. That's the message that God has given us, that Jesus is the way. And the way of the cross leads home. Hallelujah. If you want to enter the empty tomb, you have to go in there, as Harry Truman said, feet first. We can't just go in to look. I went in one time just to look, and that's the way a lot of people do. They just go in the empty tomb to look. There's a good article in the Evangel said that the tomb wasn't quite empty. The grave clothes were still there as an evidence that he hadn't been unwrapped. Hallelujah. It's a marvelous thing that the tomb wasn't completely empty. They hadn't stolen the body. The grave clothes were still there, and he couldn't get out of them. The wrappings, the long windings that were wrapped around there, that were dipped in spices and oils, that were the preservative. There was a way that they buried their dead. All of those wrappings were still there, but he was gone. Hallelujah. So the tomb wasn't quite empty. I didn't see the grave clothes. I didn't have to. I don't even know if that was the tomb. But I don't have to know that. Because I know that he was dead and buried. And I know that he was resurrected because I met him. Praise the Lord. And that's a marvelous fact, to meet Jesus. To know that he's in you. The power was not only in the message, but it was in the messengers. With great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of Jesus. There are a lot of people that witness today, but they don't witness to Jesus. They don't witness to the resurrection of Jesus. They want to talk about what happened to them. But all somehow or other, you don't get the sense of the glory of God. That's what Dick was talking about. Our brother's testimony last night was a testimony to the fact of the living Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus was there. You could see it. You could sense it. Praise the Lord. I like that kind of victory. But So does the Lord. Hallelujah. So these people had a change wrought in them. The only thing that can make a person give up the things they own, turn away from the things of the earth, and sell all they have and give it to the poor, is a miracle of the first order, Jesus. There are a lot of people that will give a lot of things away as long as they have plenty left. And there are some people that will share what they have because they have a gregarious nature. But when we reach the place that none of us consider anything that we have our own, some tremendous miracle has taken place. And when you get a bunch of people together like that, what an assembly that must have been. Huh? Wouldn't you like to have been there? Not because you could get something, but because you could give something. Not because it was a place where you're going to get taken care of, but because you were there where they were sharing in a love that no man had ever tasted before in that dimension. It was a miracle, and great grace was upon them. Hallelujah. Great grace was upon them, but there was a resurrection. A resurrection. Paul said, I didn't come to you, to the Corinthians he wrote, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came to you in the power, the Holy Spirit. And I came preaching Christ crucified. Not with beautiful words, not just saying things, but I came with a dynamic. Oh, what was the dynamic? Was it there were miracles wrought in those services? Yes, there were some miracles wrought in the services, but that's not what Paul was talking about. He was talking about a witness that was so powerful, so wonderful, that the people knew that something was happening. So if you go to Philippians, you'll find out what Paul's talking about. The verse that you... Philippians 3:8. Here's another man that had the same experience that they had in after that marvelous birth of the church in the first of Acts. In the 8th verse, Philippians 3:8, well, 3:7. But what things were gained to me I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable in unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The power of his resurrection, with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection. Paul here said that this is a thing that his heart wanted more than anything else, that I may count all things but dung. I want to tell you something. Until we reach the place that we want to let, that we're willing to let go of the world, we can never really receive the things that God has for us of the next world. We have to let go of this if we want to get hold of that. So many of us try to hold God's hand and yet grasp the things of this life, of this world. But that's not where you're going to know the power of the resurrection. That's not how it comes. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Paul described what that thing is in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about the third chapter, where he talks about the fact that there were people that had had every opportunity to hear and know this gospel and know the power of it, but they, when Moses was read, when the Bible was read, they had a veil over their eyes and they couldn't see. They couldn't understand. It didn't sink in. They didn't take it in. And then it says, even unto this day, in the 15th verse of the 3rd chapter of 2 Corinthians, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you go down in the 4th chapter, I wish we had time to really go through that 4th chapter this morning, because it's so wonderfully alive. But he talks about the fact that he, in the 8th verse, we are troubled. Well, the 7th verse, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul says on several occasions that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. When Paul talks about being a vessel, a temple of God, he talks about that in a negative sense on several occasions. But don't defile the temple of God. Our brother was preaching about that last night. But there is a very positive sense that we have to understand and believe by faith and allow the Holy Spirit to move in us. The power of the resurrection is in our mortal bodies. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory might be of God. But it says that we are delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That's giving up of this self-life, the giving up of our own way, the giving up of things, even walnut trees. Some of us went out to the church property that we bought. A couple weeks ago, Dick and I went out there and everything was fine. But we went out there yesterday and someone had cut down the prize tree of the area where we were going to make a picnic area. A beautiful walnut tree. Someone had cut it down. And that hurts. And I said to Dick, the Lord's trying to tell us something. Even walnut trees aren't eternal. It takes a long time to grow a walnut tree. But you see, in our little frame of reference, a long time, a lifetime is so long, but oh, that we could get a concept of eternity. That we could understand the fact that all of this is so temporary. We build a building out there. We're going to leave it when Jesus comes. Or long before. I may never see it built. But it doesn't matter. Because we have a building with God. A house eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. Now, God doesn't despise this body. This body is very important. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I have this treasure in an earthen vessel, a temple of the Holy Ghost. But a temple of the Holy Ghost should be a dedicated thing. The temple of the Old Testament had to be sanctified and dedicated, and how carefully they continued that dedication. And when they defiled that temple, God lifted from that place.
God has called us to be a witness unto the resurrection. Paul describes that fact by saying that as the glory of God rests in us, abides in us, we are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And there's something happening in there. There's illumination inside. God begins to bring the blaze and the light of glory, and as He does, we are changed on the inside. It has to happen in there first. Before you can witness, there has to be something to which you witness. There has to be the glory of God before you can say glory with your lips and really mean it. With great power gave the apostles witness. It was because they had abandoned themselves to God. They had given up everything else. They turned away from everything else. And when they came and said, "Don't preach anymore in that name or we'll kill you," they said, "Lord, give us power to witness even more." Hallelujah. And as God came on those people, there was an anointing that came from their lips, because there was an anointing in their lives, in their hearts. The glory of God, the Shekinah glory that had one time filled the temple, came and filled the hearts of those disciples. And no one thought that anything they had was their own. Everything they were belonged to God. Let me tell you something. If God doesn't have your house and your car, He doesn't have your body. If God doesn't possess your possessions, He doesn't possess the possessor. And until our hearts and wills have let the glory of God come and rest upon them, we will not know what it means to witness in power. And yet, there is nothing less than that we can honestly do for God. Paul says you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The whole thing belongs to Him. And the power of the resurrection can only be manifest in our mortal bodies when those mortal bodies no longer belong to us. When we have given the deed of those bodies over to the Lord. Some of us are like the problem that we've had with this ground. A year and 2 weeks ago, we signed a contract with some people saying, "We'll buy the ground, they sign the contract, we'll sell it to you." Just as fast as we can get the papers prepared. And from then on, there was just hassle after hassle over little things that didn't amount to anything. But it wasn't really ours. We couldn't go out there and do anything. We couldn't possess our possession. We couldn't take it over because we didn't have the deed. We had their promise. We had their word. We had official action. We had all kinds of things, and we could have taken it to court. And in that court, we could have said, "Now we're finished with all the fooling around. We want it right now." Of course, that wouldn't have been very good Christian testimony. But that's the way a lot of us give ourselves to Jesus. You know, we give Him a contract, what we call a letter of intent. "Lord, I intend to serve you. I intend to give you everything I am. I intend to give you my whole life. Lord, I really do want to serve you." And next month we come back and make the same promise. Next month we come back and make the same promise. Every New Year's Eve we make it again. And that's not what He wants. He wants a temple that He can live in. He wants a temple that all of the glory and the glow and the love of the Holy Ghost can come and fill, until the glory of God is seen in that. Hallelujah. Until life is manifest in this mortal flesh. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I have all of that. It's available to me. It's mine. Oh, he gave me himself. And yet how difficult it is for me to give him myself for a place for his glory. And we don't see the one thing that happened in the book of Acts. Because we hedge a little bit, because somehow or other there's a murkiness about our consecration, and the glory doesn't shine through to the world like it ought to. Hallelujah. The witness of the fact that Jesus is alive depends on the fact that Jesus is alive to me. If in everything that I do, and everything that I think, and everything I say, I take into account his will, listen to me. If everything that crosses my mind is related to whether or not it's pleasing to him, and often we justify watching television when we ought to be praying, when we ought to be waiting on God, when we ought to be out witnessing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? How empty and how powerless we are when God has all the power of heaven and earth available to those who will just let Jesus live in them. With great power gave the apostles witness. Let's pray for it. Let's seek it. But oh, let's not forget how it comes. It comes by entering into Jesus, with Jesus, into his death. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I have to come to the place where I am committed unto death, that the power of God, that the glory of Jesus, that the resurrection life might be made manifest in this mortal flesh. God doesn't want to wait till some grand day in the future when the resurrection of Jesus will be manifest in a body that has been eaten by worms. I know that I shall be resurrected. I know that when they put me in the grave, if I go before Jesus comes, that I am going to decay, and I know that somehow or other the power of God is going to come into that body and resurrect it and transform it and make it like unto his glorious body. I know all that. But there's something that I know that's far more pungent to me right now. And that is that God wants to manifest himself in this mortal body right now. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. And to do that, you and I are going to have to pay the price of giving up our right to ourselves, to our own things, and to our own way. We need to learn to surrender ourselves to God. Somebody said that surrender is the easiest and the hardest thing that you'll ever do. When you surrender, it's so simple. But until you surrender, it's just impossible. But these people were in a bind. These people were put in a place where they had to make a choice. And do you know that the church thrives under persecution? The real church thrives under persecution. When somebody comes to you and says you can no longer pray and you can no longer go to church, you can no longer... My! We have a lot of people that wanted to go to church if they couldn't. But a lot of people that won't because they can. Because it takes a great deal more effort to be crucified because you're willing to surrender yourself to Jesus than it does to be crucified because somebody else is going to do it. And that was the wonder of Jesus' crucifixion. He said, "The Pilate, you have no power at all. You couldn't touch me except my Father is allowing you to touch me, and I am allowing you to touch me. I could call and I could have legions of angels to come and deliver me. So he said, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down. So much of our crucifixion is something that happens against our will. And you're never crucified against your will. The only real crucifixion that you'll ever know is that where you lay your life down for Jesus' sake and let God be glorified through your mortal body. And when you're willing to surrender yourself consciously and willingly to God, the power of the Holy Spirit can come into that. People talk about bearing crosses because their husband or their wife was nasty to them, or their children didn't treat them right, or somebody at work looked crossways at them, and that's my cross. That's not your cross. That's the thing that comes to everybody. Everybody has troubles. Everybody has hard things to go through. Everybody has things that are not to their liking, except a few little playboys here and there in the world, and I know that people like that exist, but sometimes if you knew their heartaches, you feel sorry for them. Some of those people commit suicide. But the only people that really are candidates for the power of the resurrection are people that will commit their bodies right now as a residence of the dear Holy Spirit to be filled with the nature and the love and the grace of Jesus. And when we're willing to do that with great power, we'll give witness unto the resurrection. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I think we can end this service by singing, He is Lord. Let's really mean it. Let's invite Him into our hearts. Let's let Him fill us with the glory that will make us witnesses to the resurrection. Not to a lot of other things, but to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not to the resurrection of ourselves. Not to the resurrection of what we want. Not that we can just have our way, but that He can have His way. And I'll tell you, the way, when Jesus has His way in you, it's 1,000 times better than anything you want for yourself. Hallelujah. Let's sing it this morning. Someone said that we need to turn that around and say, You are Lord, You are Lord. You have risen from the dead and You are Lord. Now my tongue and my lips confess. Hallelujah. My lips confess. My knees shall bow. Hallelujah. For He is Lord. Let's sing it that way and sing it in prayer and worship unto Him. I'd like to close this service by saying together what we call the Lord's Prayer. And think very seriously about the words as we say them, because they're powerful and real. And we need to say them and not parrot them. So let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.